Welcome, Allies, the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, wonderful segue from the previous show, offering that wonderful movie, Aware, Glimpses of Consciousness, Science, Indigenous Wisdom, and Entheogens. Ah, that's our show, too, for 26 years, Visionary Activist Show, dedicated to just such things. I'm going to pledge for that movie myself. That movie is available for a pledge of $100. It sounds fantastic, wonderful. So we are here magnetizing pledges by playing segments of a previous show, but so wonderful, offering this most wonderful book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, Stories of Generosity and Cooperation in the Natural World. It's so essence of what we're all dedicated to. But first, just as a little wonderful, haunting, good thing, we're going to play this wonderful piece of music that somebody sent me so long ago, and I don't know who to credit, but Yaji Vejna. It's a yearning for spring. Here we are.
Весна, где бывала весна, где бывала. В лесе зимовала, в лесе зимовала. Робила, что ты там робила? Город городила, город городила. Красочки садила, красочки садила. Вяночки крутила, вяночки крутила. Весна, где бывала весна, где бывала.
Just to get us in the to and fro and to realize the beauty in the Russian and the Ukrainian soul underneath everything, underneath the conflict. And we here at the Visionary Activist Show for 26 years, again, visioning, finding a way out of no way. I'm so grateful to ally Sean Patrick O'Donohue mentioning some ways ago to see, you know, the Russian women marching into Ukraine to take their beloved men home, as they did when they marched into Chechnya, and that began the end of that war. We go, oh. And this song is so hauntingly beautiful to set us forth on our to and fro of reciprocal blessing and finding a way out of no way. So we are featuring Kristin Olson this week because her book is so wonderful, truly, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, Stories of Generosity and Cooperation in the Natural World, that humans be inspired by such to rejoin the collaborative dance. Quoting Darwin's contemporary, the Russian scientist anarchist Peter Kropotkin, yes, yes, who are the fittest, those who are continually at war with each other, or those who support one another? We at once see that those animals which acquire habits of mutual aid are undoubtedly the fittest. We're going to dive into a short segment and a long segment of what Kristin has to offer to us, but you'll see it's so in keeping with everything to do with KPFA and the Just Now show, which was really pretty darn great And the movie that they were offering, and I'm going to offer it too, Aware Glimpses of Consciousness, for a pledge of $100, Science, Indigenous Wisdom, and Entheogens. That's really great. But we're offering Kristen's book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, Stories of Generosity and Cooperation, for a pledge of $150. And we also have 5 Bioneers tickets for Saturday, April 8th, for that whole day, for a pledge of $200. There's only 5 of those. 1-800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. For 20 years or so, I've started off the Bioneers Conference on Friday nights, and I will do again this coming April 7th, you know, with Majnun, Liberating Trickster's Guide to Necessary Miracles. That will be 9 p.m. at the Freight and Salvage. 2020 Addison's, I just put that over there. So let's begin with our first clip of Kristen Olson.
I did want to build on some of what really excited me about my previous book, which was The Soil Will Save Us. And, you know, many things about that book were a joy to write about it. You know, it was a joy to talk to these farmers and ranchers and scientists who were trying to figure out how to grow food, harvest food without destroying landscape. So that was, of course, a great pleasure. But, you know, one of the things that was really earth-shaking for me when I finally figured it out that, you know, that plants, and so I was writing a lot in that book about agricultural situations. So plants aren't just takers. You know, there's this line that comes from the purveyors of industrial agricultural tools and chemicals and seeds and all that. You know, their whole thing is based upon saying that plants are just takers, you know, that plants suck up all the goodness out of the soil and leave it, you know, leave it devoid of any nutrients. And thus farmers should dump on all these chemicals to make, you know, to make other new plants grow. And so in that book, when I was working on The Soil Will Save Us, and I finally realized that, oh, no, that's just not true. Plants are takers, but they're also givers. They are all, you know, they're making that, they're photosynthesizing, they're making this incredible carbon fuel, which they use to grow, but they also share that carbon fuel. They share it strategically with all these microbes that are in the soil, and fungi that are in the soil. And there's a trade that's going on, a partnership that's going on constantly. So every plant that we see is an ecosystem, and we can't see all the members of that ecosystem, but they're, you know, that is a model of mutualism. You know, plants are giving, plants are taking. The soil microbial community is giving and taking. So I was, you know, I wanted to write more about that kind of thing. And then I heard Suzanne Simard, who's, you know, this fabulous forest ecologist from British Columbia, and she has been doing 30 years of work showing that that in the forest, trees are sort of constantly in communication with each other. And it's more than communication. They're linked to each other by this vast underground network of fungi. And they are communicating. They're communicating about, you know, insect attack or other things, drought maybe. And they're sharing resources. They're sharing carbon. They're sharing other chemicals and nutrients that other trees need. So when I heard Suzanne Simard speak, I thought, yes, I want to write more about mutualism, mutually beneficial relationships in nature. And then one of the scientists that I reached out to right away, and I was sort of looking for other people in science who were looking at cooperation in nature. And he said, you know, most scientists aren't really looking for that. They're following that paradigm of, you know, that ecosystems are all about competition for resources. And they're looking for competition. They're not even looking for cooperation. So I was really struck, and that's kind of how I got to Kropotkin, and thinking about how the culture, how the culture sort of sets the agenda for the science, but then science also, the metaphors and, you know, the kind of science that's done, who funds it, what they're looking for, that kind of sets the metaphors that the culture runs on.
Yes, the metaphors the culture runs on. Here we are at the Visionary Activist Show. We are training to be first responders, first metaphoric responders, to expand our repertoire. The more words, the more knowledge we have, the more myths, the more stories, the more avenues of participation. So part of Kristin Olson and her wonderful, truly wonderful book, we'll have a long clip in a moment, more than a clip, just to really bathe in this. But her book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, Stories of Generosity and Cooperation in the Natural World, is being offered as a thank you gift for those who pledge for $150. And all pledges are welcome. All pledges are completely welcome. Absolutely. We also have only 5 Bioneers tickets for April 8th for the day for a pledge of $200. And then I love the previous show's offering of the movie Aware, Glimpses of Consciousness, Science, Indigenous Guiding, and Entheogens for a pledge of $100. But back to, it's really Kristin that we want to spiral forth. Again, her book, wonderful, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, Stories of Generosity and Cooperation in the Natural World, for a pledge of $150 by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online, kpfa.org. But when she speaks about joy, you know, what gives us joy? We have endogenous receptors for kinship. You know, may our species have manners again. And when she talks about plants, you know, sharing resources and carbon, yes, you know, partnering, every plant and ecosystem, vast underworld community, mutually beneficial relationships in nature, cooperating in nature. And we go, right, and just a little bit about how we're gathering now. I hope if it's not cloudy tonight, the ongoing fantastic sky event of Venus and Jupiter, they're both conjoined right now at 12 plus Aries, which whose image is a bomb that fails to go off, defusing violence, defusing tense situations, and bringing forth mutual aid. And that's really what Pacifica, the goddess of peace, is dedicated to, and this show, the Visionary Activist Show, is dedicated to. And just to stand underneath Venus and Jupiter, which is about, you know, wealth and windfalls of wherewithal for all good-hearted people. So by pledging, you can really participate in this mutualism. Oh, thank you, Anonymous, in Boulder, Colorado. That's really super great and wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We have a pretty great, diverse audience all over. But Venus and Jupiter and Chiron, we won't see Chiron. But remember our great ally, Deborah Falmouth, just recently returned from Syria again. And she says this, I love this. She says, in the West, we think of the future in front of us and the past in back of us. Who cares? And she goes, in the Middle East, it's the reverse. We're gazing at the past in front of us. The future's invisible. And we're crafting the future by gazing at the caravan of our past mentors. So it's a good, fun, useful thing to do that. Reversal, looking backwards. And mentors. You know, for 26 years, we've had mentors on the air. It's Critique and Solution, Ingenious Solutions. Many of them have become ancestors, and we go, we wave to them. But we're pledging for that. And then all we have to do, you know, for more benefit is whatever we do, we just add dedication to it by pledging to KPFA, you know, this amount, small or large. You know, may it be that, you know, peace and ingenuity supplant war and dominance and spiral out into the world, or whatever your own inner heart dedication is super wonderful. But Venus and Jupiter and Chiron, they quintile Pluto. It is the way the underworld realm, the mycelial realm, previous show addressed this, we address this always. And the quintile 72-degree angle I love so much what we get when we divide the circle by five. Five is sacred to Venus. Now we're back to Venus and kinship and mutual aid and reciprocity and reciprocal blessing. And really what a fun drive is about reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you and for you, you know, and may we spiral forth. May we feel, you know, a sense of community, deep and invisible, and also visible. Radio is so magic. But when I learned quintiles as a little tiny student a million years ago in London, it's got to be the way we learned it, pretty close to exactly 72 degrees, and we have that right now. Oh, thank you, Norris Diane in Sausalito, for a pledge. Bless your heart. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's really great. You know, so we learned it as literary, so we would read authors, and if they had this kind of sizzly, quirky, unique eloquence, we would then guess if they had this pretty rare thing and then look it up and go, oh, they did. Kind of scientific, right? And so it's not just, but the reason I love the quintile available to all of us, maybe especially those who pledge, you know, just for the fun of it, but it's so democratically clean. It's a capacity for all of us listening, to be like tuning forks in that we hum, you know, direct perception in others. And that's what this station does, and that's what this show aspires to do, too. So we don't have to kind of convince everyone. We go, it would be as though people said, oh, since I heard that on your show, or since you guided my gaze this way, I see that now. So it's a long-lasting influence, not a short, violent impact, right? A long-lasting influence. And then wonderful ally, colleague Sylvia Hanley said, the quintile is what you say, Caroline, but it's also the capacity to open portals between worlds. I'm like, ooh, well, now we're talking. And if it's not true, let's make it true. So this is a time where we can open portals between worlds. If we don't know what to do, invite in what does. You know, I myself was at a, you know, interesting crisis, why do we get addicted to crisis point, and I did. I stood under Venus and Jupiter going, I am rededicating, I am re-enthusing, there we go. You know, windfalls of wherewithal for everybody, and it worked. There's magic available to all of us now, you know, and so we love that particular pattern. We love Mercury and Saturn at the last degree of Aquarius, who's got a haunting image. Strange white flowers are blooming in the midnight ruins of Babylon. We go, ooh. But it is about death and rebirth, and it is a serious time. Time to be playful as well and to find joy in partnership, in mutually beneficial relationships between listeners and this station. We're all in cahoots together. So now we will set forth in this longer, wonderful excerpt from Kristen Olson. We're offering her book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, Stories of Generosity and Cooperation in the Natural World, for a pledge of $150. And off we go. Here we go.
Miracles started to happen when the cattle were kept away from the creeks for part of the year. So, you know, we have in any piece of land, there are seeds in there that are just waiting for the opportunity to sprout. I mean, some seeds live hundreds of years. So the ranchers, you know, were excited to see, oh, now there's some vegetation coming up along the creek banks. And so more and more vegetation was coming up. And even though it made their job harder, because the cattle would get in there and get in the vegetation and would be hard to drag them out of these willow stands. Anyway, you know, it started to move along that way. And then the beaver came, and the beavers started to cut down the willows that were there and started to, you know, pull out some of those grasses that were growing alongside these creeks. And the ranchers were very dubious about that. They have sort of a war, you know, they've typically had a war with the beavers, because beavers get in and, you know, mess up their irrigation systems and stuff like that. You know, they were more used to shooting beaver than coexisting with them. But, you know, they stayed back. They let the beaver do their thing. And the beavers just transformed these landscapes. I mean, the before and after pictures in these landscapes is just so dramatic, you know. So the beavers create ponds. And the ponds start to get bigger and bigger, and the vegetation around them spreads. They actually change the water table in the land. And now the creeks that run through those they transform what was very much a dry desert into a wetland, and and it's now fabulous habitat for birds and insects and other animals. It creates fodder for the cattle to eat, and it makes the land less prone to fire. It's just an amazing transformation there. And, you know, the other thing that was so exciting for me about that chapter was not only to see how working with the rest of nature, removing the harm, removing the damage that we're doing, how quickly the rest of nature starts to rebuild and create this vibrant, life-giving landscape. But the people to do this project, they all figured that they had to cooperate and communicate with each other. So they formed these organizations of ranchers and scientists and folks from the government agencies, and they would meet. You know, it was a very prescribed way that they met. They were determined to have consensus and cooperation and collaboration. So they would meet in these rooms where they would circle the table so that nobody was at the head of the table, and everybody had a voice. Everybody was going to be respected. And they had a social worker there helping if at times things got hot, and, you know, there was somebody who was going to get angry or somebody who was going to have their feelings hurt, to help them get through that. So, you know, there were two really marvelous transformations there. You know, one was the transformation of the land, but the other was the transformation in the relationships among these people who do not always get along.
That's perfect. Right, because over and over again, you talk and about coalition building, again, the political, the spiritual, the biological. Let's take our models from nature. That's so great. And I'm so glad you just brought up the round table, right? Comprised of equal individuals contributing, right? So it's, the story is told that King Arthur in the Round Table, which was an experiment to have, you know, informed, you know, spiritually cultivated people engaged in governance, but then at the end of the Arthurian legends, all the hip people go away for a while, right? But the myth was to await the world's call at a time of danger. And we go, now would be really good. Come back for the round table consensus and coalition building. That's so wonderful. And then you mentioned that while you're writing this, because you're attracting, you know, all your kin, you're forming the web, right? That somebody gives you Kelly Clancy's essay, Survival of the Friendliest, which is super charming, right?
It was super charming, and it introduced me to a lot of ideas that I hadn't come across before. You know, the idea that I loved and embraced in that was this concept of relaxed selection.
Yes, I underlined that.
So that you know, it's not that an organism. Plant or animal or fungal, an organism can survive and thrive not necessarily because they're the fittest or the strongest, but there might be some outside force that intervenes to make living easier for them. So like an abundance of something that they like to eat shows up, or you know, something acts upon their circumstances to make it easier for them to thrive, or another organism makes it easier for them to thrive. And, you know, I think the most valuable things that Kelly Clancy pointed out in that is that creatures themselves relax selection by the things that they do. So beavers are relaxing selection pressure on themselves by building dams and creating ponds, because they're making they're irrigating a landscape that grows the things that they like to eat. They're creating a safer place for themselves. So that's one way that beavers are relaxing selection on themselves. We as humans, you know, we relax selection on ourselves in a million ways. You know, we relax selection by wearing bike helmets and by having traffic signals and by having healers. And, you know, all, you think of all the things that we do to make our lives, you know, stronger and more successful. And I love that idea of relaxed selection, thinking about how we, I mean, I think that's what's called upon in this time now, that we yes. humans start to relax selection on the rest of nature. You know, we, over and over again, we do things that make it so hard for other species to thrive and for ecosystems to thrive. But when we pull back the damage, when we stop doing the damage, so when we relax that selection pressure on the rest of nature, you know, we can see that nature bounces back so amazingly.
Right. And you know, from the first chapter all the way through, you know, again, what we know, but you put it in such guiding clarity, you know, it's the humans' ill-informed galumphiness going roads, things on top of the, these networks of complexity and civilizations, right? Yeah, so right, and relax selection, like with the beavers, it's like then you take the pressure off and then they can have beaver culture in their incredible architecture where they probably, you know, devise stories all night. Right. So that's really wonderful. Well, let me just do a little pitching here because we're being too fascinating, but don't go away. So team, we are coalition building here. This is Mutual Aid. This is our wonderful guest, Kristin Olson, and her just such a rich resource, beautiful book, photos, but each page, really, I have sticky notes all the way through, sweet in tooth and claw. And for us to be effective citizens now, really, is to be informed, you know, of this realm and be reminded of, you know, all our great allies. You know, there are so many people working on, indeed, in, you know, ingenious collaborative ways. So this book is available as a thank you gift to you for $150. It's worth that. It really is. By calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online kpfa.org. We're also offering Visionary Activist Show archives, but I'll delineate that further. Right now, we have the luxury of our guest Kristin Olson. So allow me to keep her here by calling. That would be really good. 800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. So for relaxed selection, for coalition building, for Kropotkin's work, for mutual aid, for the crucialness of now, politically, spiritually, everything, the earth is on the ballot, right? I mean, it's like a cartoon grotesquery. It's life and ingenuity or evil, rapacious greed and death. It's pretty much that way. And it's like, all right, we're voting for reality with everything, and voting for reality by pledging to this station and its dedication to the Visionary Activist Show that will continue to bring Kristin Olson and late wonderful allies Peter Warshall and Joanne Locke and Dave Gallo and E.O. Wilson and much on viruses. I want to come back to viruses as well. But so I'm watching you. I can see you moving to the phone to call. That would be so wonderful to allow us to continue to cahoot with Kristin. And you can keep cahooting with Kristin with this really valuable book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, published by Patagonia. So it's just great all the way through, in every fiber of its being, and every beautiful photograph that is generous, right? Right, because Patagonia, when you said about art, here's the male Vogelkop. You can open this book like a divination tool, really. The bird of paradise calls from his display log. Every photo is like, oh, that's so wonderful. So this is a treasure of a book. And again, Patagonia is kind enough to be proffering it to KPFA so that we can, you know, all form coalitions of effectiveness at this crucial time. So for this book, again, the wonderful book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw by Kristin Olson, invaluable, invaluable. Just reading a chapter a day, really wonderful. And informing people of what you find out. Many people listening, dedicated listeners for 26 years, know much of the material, but I guarantee you don't know all of it. We want to always be learning, always learning. That's, you know, part of our positive humanness. You know, again, for our rogue species to have manners. So again, 1-800-439-5732. All right, we've done what we could for a moment. Kristen, let's go to hurricanes for fun. Because that takes us, you say sucking up particles and expelling living microbes. So we go to that, realm, and that's an increasing, you know, phenomenon.
Right.
Anything you want to say about?
Well, that came up in the chapter where I talk about the microbial world. I mean, so I started that chapter with an anecdote about Amelia Earhart, that she, you know, I'm just sort of interested in how long people have been sort of trying to figure out the microbial world. But Amelia Earhart, on one of her flights, she had this tube that she had on the outside of the plane where when she was up in the air, she would reach out and try to collect microbes on this, on a slide for scientists. But yeah, so the scientists who are doing that now are going up much farther than she did and kind of cataloging what's living way out there. There are basically microorganisms, basically bacteria and viruses and other things that are even smaller than that. Those things are living kind of everywhere scientists look. So they're way out in the atmosphere. They're in boiling vents. They're everywhere. And I think that the microbial world is kind of like the connective tissue that binds us all together. We can't get away from it. You know, I think that before the pandemic, I always used to get so annoyed when I would go to a grocery store and they would have the hand sanitizer to use. And I would just so ridiculous to be trying to kill everything off. And of course, fear about the coronavirus reignited that kind of, I think, intense reaction to the invisible world. And it's understandable, of course, but we cannot get back to that, that fear of germs, because they're in us, they're on us, we have viruses that are resident in our mouth.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Exactly. And I was actually open to the slightly different quote too, because I love your jaunty narrative throughout this deep, deep, deep material. It's like Wendell Berry says, be jaunty, even though fully informed. Right. And so on the other side of the kill everything, you go, well, now probiotics are all the rage, right? Probiotic chocolate bars, probiotic whatever the thing is, whatever. And you say, but despite what might be massive and dismaying overhype by manufacturers, it's an amazing time to be alive and to reconceive our connection to the rest of life on this planet. It's like, go, Kristen. That's adorable. And then that takes us to viruses. Yes, we want to honor them, as you say, much maligned. And you have a great many, many great sections. Wait, I have some of them here. But I'm also, we want to know a great deal. I'm reading a great book on viruses, Spillover, by Daniel Kahneman. And it's, again, what we know. He says, a revered and respected scientist says, ecological disturbance causes diseases to emerge. Right? Got that. Right. It's like, when will the pandemic be over? It's like, well, when we quit despoiling the earth, And so you have great things to write. Can I read the puckish take on that you have here? Let's see, New Mexico State University molecular biologist David Johnson, just for fun. Can I read that?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so it's in this wonderful book. There's so much here. He says, Kristen, quoting, I see plants as microbes' first experiment with artificial intelligence. They needed something else to capture energy for them, so they helped develop the plant. Then they realized plants weren't mobile enough to get them all the food they wanted, so they developed versions 2.1 animals. And somewhere along the line, they went horribly awry and came up with humans. Anyway, it's charming and probably true. Right. And then let me thank you, Nadine and Martinez, California, who pledged for this beautiful, beautiful book. Thank you, CC. Thank you yourself. And Jen in San Bruno says, Trees by Joyce Kilmer, very important in my life. I wrote a little poem when I was in third grade about trees. They hold you in their strong arms. And even I thought it was a little sentimental and cheesy, but it was a big hit. And somebody gave me a book with Joyce Kilmer. I think that I will never see a poem as lovely as a tree.
Right. It was
Krushan, somebody gave me a, you know, Hummel figure. Anyway, it was a landmark thing, trees. We form these bonds. So let me continue to exhort here in our exhortational moments. You can have this wonderful book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, and as a thank you gift for a pledge of $150. Nadine did that. There we go. By calling 1-800-439-5732. And then the virus part. Well, again, I'm searching through my finger. Virus is getting a bad rap. No, here's just a super great thing about, you know, complexity, and for humans to cultivate complexity, you know, before doing anything. And you also write, and here I quote you, Rosnick became fascinated with viral symbiosis. I love that. Viral symbiosis, mm-hmm. When she and colleagues conducted a study in Yellowstone National Park, they found that some plants could tolerate the extreme heat near geysers and hot vents, but only if the plants had a symbiotic mutualism, I just want to repeat that too, symbiotic mutualism, with a certain fungus that was infected by a certain virus. It was a beautiful three-way symbiosis. I think they're very common, but it's hard to study them, right? So wonderful intricacy, right? The plant with the fungus, but only if the fungus has been infected by a certain virus. And it's like, yeah, cooperate with everything.
Right, and that's what allowed those plants to live by hot vents and geysers in Yellowstone Park. It gave them a superpower. I know, it's just so amazing. And it really made me think about, I mean, how much could science possibly know? I mean, you know, I accompanied Suzanne Samar to do research deep in the forest for the Mother Tree Project. And it is a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. It takes a lot of funding. You know, I think it's impossible for science, you know, all of these mutualisms are, it takes a lot of science to tease them out. I mean, How can they even find everything? I think we just have to assume that there is this incredibly complex dance and collegiality going on around us at all times, even if science hasn't been able to, you know, peel back the lid and figure it out, because it's just so complex. And it takes so much work to find. But it's amazing. It's amazing what we're surrounded by.
Right. Well, that's why we're grateful to you, to Suzanne Simard, to all the people you referenced, to your beautiful book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, Stories of Generosity and Cooperation in the Natural World. Kropotkin is backing you up. Go, girl, says Kropotkin. So, which is crucial. And then I am going to reluctantly release you in about 4 minutes when our pledge captain will join me in exhorting. But before we go, you know, it's so, this is a book that's useful always, all the time. But really, as you say and know, and so grateful that you brought it out now, so crucial for everyone now. And, you know, and then just even what we eat, you know, when we consume more complex carbohydrates, we're actually taking care of all these different food chain levels, and that creates a more diverse and resilient ecological system inside our body. And then you say, when we eat sugary junk food, sugar-eating microbes proliferate too, but their abundance doesn't confer the same benefit. So, you know, for you, may this book spiral forth, may your dedication be increasingly influential with all of the kin who are doing related work. But I've been, you know, tracking you in Facebook and whatnot too. And do you have a wish for Biden's farm bill and regenerative agriculture? If you could wave a wand, what would it be?
Oh boy, it's not a simple wand. You know, the kiss the ground people down in LA have a big campaign called, I believe, Regenerate America, they're really trying to summon politicians and summon popular support for really paying attention to the farm bill, because that determines how our tax dollars are spent on agriculture. So do we want the agriculture that's destroying landscapes, or do we want the agriculture that actually gives habitat to birds and insects, that builds soil health? It's such a hugely important thing, and it's something that, you know, I think ordinary people think, well, that's for policy wonks to figure out. But all of us need to get on that train and push for, agriculture that favors ecosystems.
Right. And that's why, the accumulated coalition building, like, you know, you and then reporting on the ranchers and how they came to collaboration with the beavers and stuff. And as you say, and as Ben Goldfarb does in Eager, you know, there's resistance, like identity even intertwined, like it's hard to change. And we just go harder not to, because as you say, there's nothing that moves our profound kinship DNA more than before and after photos. I was going, So it's like, again, it feeds the soul of those ranchers and farmers, right? Aren't they delighted by the beauty?
Oh, they are delighted. And I forgot to say, when I was talking about that before, you know, remember they said that these creeks have always dried up in the summertime. As far back as anybody can remember, those creeks stay wet. Those creeks have running water all summer now. That's just amazing. Who would think that would happen by changing the way cattle are grazing, but that the beaver could do that? But, you know, we can have such profound changes on landscapes that we think are permanently damaged, but there's always the potential of life there when we remove the damage, when we remove the things that we're doing that interfere with the joy of life.
Right. And then you end with the paintbrush. Do you want to do a little homage to the paintbrush plant on your way out?
You know, the paintbrush plant, I'm up in the Sierra Nevadas right now, and the paintbrush plant, which is an awfully pretty thing, has been, somewhat maligned recently when scientists discovered that they were that their roots penetrate the roots of other plants, nearby plants, and they suck out some nutrients and all that. But it turns out that it's, of course, a lot more complicated than that, that the paintbrush plays a role in not letting one plant dominate, that it's, there's what they call the dryad effect, named after female spirits from Greek mythology who live in trees and create sacred groves as they nurture their own trees as well as the living things around them. So the paintbrushes concentrate nutrients, and it's a boost to the little ecosystem there. It boosts plant diversity in an area. It attracts more birds and insects. It increases pollination. So even this beautiful plant that people had started to give the stink eye to, it's building ecosystems.
Right. No, that's wonderful. Well, Kristen Olson, thank you so much. I'm grateful forever. I hope we can continue conversing in some form. I will certainly continue touting this really generous act of mutual aid as the contribution of your book. Thank you so much, Kristen.
Oh, great to talk to you. Bye-bye.
So that was wonderful, Kristen Olson. The book is so wonderful. We have many people to thank. Bless everybody. But, you know, delighted by the beauty of all the people who had been shooting beavers and then going, oh, no, we collaborated and we're delighted by the beauty. We can see the dry creeks now running sweet. Viral symbiosis, symbiotic mutualism. There we go. That's what a pledge drive is, really. Three-way symbiosis. The plant with the fungus, but only if the fungus has been infected by a virus, it can live in these extreme hot environments. So darling. And so we do have some people to thank. Anonymous in Albany, I'll have what you're having. He pledged for Sweet and Tooth and Claw by Kristen Olsen for Pledge of 100. And then he added more, and he pledged for the movie Aware, Glimpses of Consciousness, which is such a great fit. It's, you know, again, endogenous or indigenous. Indigenuity, science, indigenous wisdom, and entheogens. And we go, oh, that's great. So thank you, Anonymous in Albany. I want to pledge for what you've pledged for. Everyone listening can do that. You can have Sweet and Tooth and Claw for a pledge of 150 and the fabulous movie Aware, Glimpses of Consciousness for a pledge of 100. There you go. It works well together. Everything works well together, especially now and especially today. And then thank you so much in Eugene. Eugene in Santa Rosa. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mary in San Francisco. Wonderful. Susan in Pacifica, California. Love Caroline, love Kristen, love the Herbal Highway. I do too, listening since the beginning of both of those shows. Yeah, they're wonderful. We love them. Thank you, Michael and Alamo. Thank you, Anonymous and Martinez. Woof woof. Thank you as always. You are the gift, Anonymous and Martinez says. That's great. And is our wonderful, inspiring pledge captain here?
Pledge captain, yes. Fund drive manager, Laura Primus. Yes, I'm here.
That's great.
Yeah, I like all the shows on KPFA. I always learn something, and I liked the germs are okay.
Yeah.
Message that you put out. So yeah, people are so afraid of the natural world on, you know, that kind of level, and we're all full of microbes, right? They're not anything. They're all really essential. Or
yeah.
Maybe not.
No,
but,
that's,
you know.
Yeah.
And it's complicated.
And it was nice being able to litany with Kristen. She's so great. You know, all of her past kin who have been guests on this show, and wonderful Dave Gallo, one of the few deep, deep, deep ocean scientists, saying, yes, humans are mucking it up, and even the bottom of the sea mucking it up. But remember that in the bottom of the sea there are these vents, hot vents that are spewing new life into the world all the time. Right, so there. And then just to add to our team for benefits, oh, thank you, Horacio. Wonderful, wonderful. I love the show. Thanks for such an information-filled hour. I always look forward to hearing it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Horacio. What a great name that is, too. So again, new life everywhere. And this is such an upbeat, well, I want to also just, you know, pitch back to you, Laura. I love Kristen talking about relaxed selection. Let's tease this into the fun drive in KPFA, you know, to take the stress off, right? You know, take the stress off of KPFA going, oh, windfalls of wherewithal. That would be great. Oh, thank you, Anastasia in Mill Valley. How wonderful. Yeah, she pledged for It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism, hardcover by Senator Bernie Sanders. Yes, wonderful, wonderful. KPFA is the butter to my jam, she says. I couldn't live without you. Thank you for keeping it real and informative every day. Good luck. Yeah, reciprocal blessing and good luck back to you, right? It's the way, it's the to and fro. Yeah, and as we were saying, you know, coalition building and the reference to Kelly Clancy's essay, Survival of the Friendliest. But back to relaxed selection, to make living easier, right, for all of us, for KPFA to keep doing its noble, dedicated work, increasingly crucial, you know, for the Visionary Activist Show, which is part of our living dynamic of allies cahooting, going critique and solution, we have solutions, you know, and then just part of the, you know, Mars quintiles Vesta right now, which means we are divested of orthodoxy as we dedicate to keeping the community hearth flame alive. Whoosh, there we go. You know, and that's what we're up to and what Laura's up to all the time, to keep the hearth flame of community dedication alive. So we're magnetizing everyone to pledge 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. Any amount is completely magic and wonderful and welcome. But we do have these great gifts. You know, Kristen Olsen's book for a pledge of $150, Sweet and Tooth and Claw. And then I think, do we still have five Bioneers tickets? Yeah, we do. We still have five Bioneers tickets
for April. As far as I know, April. We still have those tickets, yes.
Yeah, nobody's pledged yet. It's pretty great. It's the meeting of the team, you know, and as at most conferences, the people attending are the really fun part. Well, no, it's all fun, but it is people connecting, you know, and the KPFA community connecting. And so for a pledge of $200, you get Saturday, April 8th, all day. And you can look online at bioneers.org to see what's on the schedule there.
So, all these things are really like dovetail together. You know, we're all part of this community of like-minded people who would like to see a better world, would like to see a world of cooperation, would like to see that, wouldn't it be great if we were so well-funded we didn't have to fundraise all the time on the air, you know, like that, that would be a great world to live in, but that's not the world we live in, but we can, you know, shows like yours help us flip out of our doom and gloom scenarios and think of other possibilities. The same with, you know, Bioneers. They're all thinking about, you know, how we, the solutions and the history, the beautiful histories of indigenous peoples that lived in harmony with the world for centuries before we got into the mess
millennia
that we're
right.
in.
Well, because
days.
we learned last week from Dan Flores's fantastic book, you know, that humans have been here for, you know, far longer than we thought on America. And it's okay to use the word America because it turns out it's a Mayan word. It's not America Vespucci. It's America means land of the wind. So
wow, I didn't know
humans
that.
Here. Yeah, no. So it's okay to use the word America. What a relief! It's a beautiful word. We inhale it back in. You know, and for all who are dedicated to protecting the earth, you know, we have the the moon trine Neptune. So seeing the goodness in people, you know, seeing our species with manners. That's really what this book is about, and this show is about. This wonderful book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw, for a pledge of $150. That's really great.
And we only have just a few minutes left, so we would like to see a couple more listeners stand up for the Visionary Activist Show and KPFA and go to the website, KPFA. You can get any of these gifts, or you can just, you know, give us your support without a gift. That's totally a great option. It helps us even more. So, you know, we love to entice you with things, and we love for you to get things. There's kpfa.org and the call center, which is 1-800-439-5732 in these last few minutes. Love to see a couple more people step up.
We would. But also, thanks to Barry in Scotts Valley, who says, proud to say I've been in mutual symbiosis. Whoops. Oh my goodness. We just got a huge thing. But Barry,
nice.
Barry, Barry primed the pump. Barry said, proud to say I've been in mutual symbiosis for some 26 years with, from the get-go. We're practically married, Barry. For 26 years with the Visionary Activist Show and always looking forward to getting high with listening to it. That's adorable. And then some great person, Darian in Sacramento, California, one-time pledge graphic power kombu by Camu Bell and wonderful things. KPFA, a companion, university, a music collection, inspiration each week. I look forward to the Visionary Activist Show, and I cherish the cultural programming, the history, the political shows, the news. You are a living treasure, Darian, and you are relaxing the pressure on all of us. Relaxed selection. So by pledging, you're relaxing your life, like, whoa, and participating in the to and flow. You know, may it be that, you know, whatever you pledge comes back to you four times. There we go. For each step we take, we get drawn along three. We're in cahoots. These things want to happen. Intrinsic protection of life and goodness. So that's super fun. Thank you, Darian. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, everybody. Very wonderful. Delighted by beauty. Oh, and I should say, the Patagonia, right? Patagonia is the publisher of this great book, Sweet in Tooth and Claw. And there was a moment. I guess I didn't have it in the clip exactly with Kristen, but she goes, she turned her book in, and then Patagonia said, "Now the art," and she goes, "Art, art," and they're like, "Of course," and so the book itself is a work of art. Just sitting there and opening it, and before and after pictures, and you know, and microbial genius things, and anyway, it's a wonderful work of art. And how generous and rare for a publisher, Patagonia, good-hearted, right? They are the publishing equivalent or partner, really, of KPFA, because their politics and their dedication to collective well-being is so beautiful. And so Kristen was astounded, really, that they go, no, let's make this book completely beautiful. So it is a beautiful work of art about beautiful works of art, which is our living earth. So do pledge. And thank you, Georgette in Walnut Creek, pledging for Aware Glimpses of Consciousness. Yeah, I just caught the description and hoovered it back in, because it's like I'd pledge for that movie on entheogens and science and indigenous guiding wisdom, endogenous indigenuity. That's what we're up to here. So, yes, 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. Yeah, we're close to out. If you want to have any more inspiring exhortation, Laura Privis.
when you said it was an amazing time to be alive, that's another nice one to like to flip the script and to think about all the, you know, the possibilities in our world that's so complicated and has so many. You know, we tout a lot of, we have to talk about the you know, terrible things that are happening on our planet, but we also have to know that this is, you know, part of being alive, and it's an amazing time to be alive. And, you know, you help us, Caroline, with flipping that script and helping us be able to have the energy to work towards the good
well,
stuff.
Well, and that's also it's the strategy way to go. The beauty of biomimicry and Janine Benyus and everybody speaking on this station and on this show, really, because when people, it transcends politics. When people see beautiful collaborative ingenuity in nature applied to human design, they go, "Oh, that is so beautiful." Everyone, you know, it really meets everyone's heart. So we're in our last minute here. 1-800-439-5732. You know, somebody years ago said, "Thank you, Caroline, for not giving up on beauty." Right? We're, you know, beauty and cruelty neck and neck. We're betting on beauty. So call 1-800-439-5732 or pledge at kpfa.org to bet on beauty and ingenuity and the goodness. And absolutely being fully informed of all the sketchy horribleness is essential for that, as the compost for beauty. And as Kristen says, if we just stop doing damage, resilience comes back up. So
exactly, yeah. And who would have thought a company like Patagonia would go, you know, dedicate all their profits to, you know, solving the climate crisis? You know, they're a great example of you know, doing the right thing in the world. It can happen. It does happen. So, and one of those right things would be to support KPFA right now during the Visionary Activist Program, which many people are doing. So, thank you so much to everyone.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Kristen. Also, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful board up. Thank you, Laura Privis, for being such a great teammate leader at KPFA. And thank you, everyone who pledged. I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week with Paul Stamets stuff. Okay, woof.